Blog Talk Radio.
It matters not if you see things as I do. All that matters is that you try to be guided by that universal light inside you. Learning to embrace all things is vital. Acting with love and kindness to both friends, foes, and rivals. Need I remind you, life is a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess, life is a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess, life is a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess. I'm trying, I'm crying, I feel like I'm dying. I'm doing my best, yeah. Life is a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess, yes. Life is a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess, yes. Life is a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess. I'm trying, I feel like I'm dying. I'm doing my best, yes. Have you ever prayed for the sunshine on a rainy day? Looking in the clouds for an angel's face. Wishing and hoping they can take the pain away. At times we pray and it seems as though God never has a thing to say. Through silent nights and aimless days, know that your trials and troubles never came to stay. You have to learn to free your mind in order for the chains to break. Know that life is a journey and sometimes we just need a change of pace. So that we may one day change our ways. Through changeless days and sleepless nights, you have to endure with peace and light. Embrace love and be polite, and be free for life. Life is a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess, yeah. Life is a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess, yes. Life is a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess. I'm trying, I'm crying, I feel like I'm dying. I'm doing my best, yeah. Life is a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess, yes. Life is a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess, yes. Life is a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess. I'm trying, I feel like I'm dying. I'm doing my best, yes. And sometimes it may be hard to look at life on the bright side. Especially when your darkest hours arise at midday instead of nighttime. And all of your hope seems to melt away like candles when the light dies. But rest assured, everything will be quite fine. It is darkness alone that influences us to let our light shine. You and I live for the same reasons that Christ died. To sing the glories of heaven in each and every lifetime. In tight times, you may pray for days and nights. But as long as you place your faith in God and not thy faith in sight.
Visions.
Even your darkest days be replaced with life. Even your darkest days. Life is a beautiful mess. A beautiful. Life is a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess. I'm crying, I'm trying, I feel like I'm doing my best. Waste not all of
I say. Welcome to The Black Woman is God, where I am your host. Got XK here on The Black Woman of God. We honor and praise the first black woman that ever walked this earth. The first human that ever walked this earth was the black man and the black woman. So on this show, we give honor and praise and salute and give her flowers now. If you are not a color of woman, you are welcome. It does not matter. We welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome all. But we just honor the most high feminine energy. I say. Listen, today we are talking about parenting with love. In our brown community, we have some toxic ways of parenting, and we have to acknowledge them in order to become a better person, a better parent, a better grandparent, auntie, uncle, friend, but most importantly, a mother, a father. We have to do better. We have to start parenting with love. But what if you are a parent and you don't even know that you're a toxic parent? We're going to talk about some toxic ways that we may have, some toxic habits, where they come from, and how can we notice them and then stop them, put it to a halt, because we no longer want to continue to raise toxic human beings in this world. We want to create humans, little kids, to grow up to be healthy and have a positive mindset and positive spirit. Because just like we all know, they are our future. And our time will come where we need our kids to lean on. And when they have to wipe our butts and clean us up, and if they throw us in a old folks home. But if you parent right properly and you raise an unselfish child and a very selfless child, trust me, they're going to take care of you. I say today is a great day. I hope you all are feeling lovely and knowing that life is a beautiful mess. Just continue to try, continue to grow, to continue to flourish, and know that you are a creator of your reality. And you can create whatever it is that you desire. So, let's get into it. Let's get into it. No more being nice. Let's be real here. All right. So, y'all are not going to like what I'm about to talk about, about to say, but just know that it's out of love, it's out of care, and I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to myself in hopes that you all who are listening can learn and grow and become a better person from either my mistakes, my stories, my opinions, my actions. I hear and see a lot of inexperience, you know. Even I'm guilty of some of the things that I'm about to go into. But one thing I am not guilty of is using profanity towards my children, meaning calling my children outside of the name that I've given them. If you are a parent that goes off on your kids and calling them lazy, calling them stupid, calling them these H words, you know, I try to do my best not to use profanity on the show because I want everyone to be able to listen to it and not feel ill. So fill in my blanks and use your common sense. You know it exactly what I'm saying. If you are using low vibrational words to your children, stop. Stop it. This is why it's so important to heal yourself and to love yourself. Because when you heal yourself and go take those spiritual baths, do that shadow work, and find out what you're dealing with before you became a parent, you then can parent with love. You then can parent healthier. And before I began this self-love journey in my life, I got pregnant at 17, and I was hurt and I was angry about a lot of childhood trauma. And then after I had my daughter, life got hard for me. Life got real. And then I would have a bad day at work and come home and yell at my daughter, "Zah, why you ain't got this room clean? Clean your room up." Not, "Zah, you know princesses keep their room cleaner than this, you know. Organize your room. Go clean your room up for me, please." That's all it takes. While I'm yelling. While I'm yelling at a child who's my reflection that looks exactly like me. Why am I raising my voice at her? No, I never cursed my daughter. I never said, "Get your A in that room. Sit your MA down." I never called my daughter stupid. But I raised my voice at her for no apparent reason. I was always yelling. Before I started this self-love journey, I was one yelling behind person, one yelling queen. Toxic, yo. And I had to do some research on myself. Hold up. Let's go back. Let's take it back. Why are you always yelling? What's the problem? What you really mad at? Because this little sweet amazing. My daughter is freaking perfect. Can't nobody tell me nothing different. My son, perfect. Can't nobody tell me nothing. I have been blessed with the most perfect children in the world. I know they're not perfect, but they're perfect enough for me. I'm so grateful for my babies. And I think about the difference of the experience of parenting that my children have. And me and my daughter and my children, my son, we talk about it all the time. Like, you have a different, my son have a better, a healthier experience with me than my daughter do, because my daughter was dealing with a broken little girl. Yes, I was a broken little girl. And I shared that with you all on some other episodes. So I was broken. You know, the first child always get it the worst. Most of the time. Not always, but most of the time. If you think about it, you know, because it was your first time caring. By the time you get to the third or fourth child, you hopefully you're being better and more of a nurturer, you know, more loving, more patient, more understanding, more self-love on yourself. So therefore, by the time the baby child get here, it's all love. You know how to handle that child. You know, you have experience on when a child is being disobedient, when they're going to their preteen stage. You know, you've experienced. And I noticed that with my son. You know, my children are like 9 years apart, 8 years apart, and it's a huge difference. It's a huge difference. I was one of those parents that used to spank. I used to believe in spanking a little bit, kind of. It never really sat with me, but I only was whooping my daughter whenever I whooped her. She literally got less than 5 whoopings. But the little bit of times that I did whoop her, it was only because that's how I was raised. And I remember the last time I was spanking my daughter, I was like, yo, it ain't feel right. I was like, I need to find another way. And then I took a child care class. Going into child care, and I learned so many ways on how to discipline without having to spank my child. Because if you really think about it, I'm about to really tick y'all nerves when I say this, but spanking, whooping came from slavery. That's a slavery mentality, I said it. I stopped whooping my daughter because it didn't feel right, first of all, in my spirit. And then when I took the child care classes and was taught how to chastise my child in a proper, healthier way, shoot, it came out all right. My daughter is doing all right. She's about to be 21 in a few more weeks, and I'm very proud of her. And she can tell you, no, I got some spankings, but I mostly got yelled at. And that wasn't okay. But she not walk around here with no childhood traumas the way I was, and I'm grateful for that. And in our community, we got to stop thinking that behind whoopings is the answer. I know some of y'all old school listeners are going to be like, they did me some good. Doesn't mean it was right. And then we're dealing with a different type of breed of children, first of all. Back in our days, in my days, it was do as I say, not as I do. And to me, that is the most silliest, dumbest thing ever. Do you not understand that your children are a reflection of you? All they're doing is showing you your good side and your bad side. All they're doing is looking up to you. You are your child's first human being of contact, and they mock everything you do. That's what they're supposed to do. You are their teacher. So how in the heavens you going to say, don't smoke cigarettes, don't curse, but every time they look up, you smoking a cigarette and you cursing? Don't be out there fighting, but you fighting. Foolishness. I never agree with that. Do as I say, not as I do. And also, because I said so. That used to work my nerve. I just want to know why. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I want to know why I can't go to such and such house. What is wrong with us? Why can't we tell our children no, and then give them an explanation no? You as an adult want to know why. So why do you feel like your child doesn't? We have to understand that children are many adults. They have feelings. They can hear. They can see. They have opinions. And their opinions matter. It matters. I remember starting off teaching my, raising my daughter the way I was raised. And I've always did self-reflecting. I've always had a journal. And I remember just journaling one day. And I was just like, you know what? I don't want to do that, what my parents did. Me and my father were just talking earlier this week, and we were both agreeing that sometimes with parenting, you have to eat the meat and spit out the bone. Eat the meat and spit out the bone. Because, meaning, I don't do everything that my parents did with me. I don't even agree with it. It don't sit right with me. It does not sit well. So when I became a parent, I spit out the bones. I was like, I ain't doing that to my daughter. I'm going to allow my daughter to sit down and tell me how she feels and give me her opinion. Same thing on my son. Tell me how this make you feel. Okay, let's talk about it. I also even let them tell me what punishment they feel like is reasonable. Because it's teaching my children how to make a tough decision. They have to sit down with me and tell me, you know, well, not my daughter anymore, but at the time, okay, you did this wrong. What do you feel like your punishment should be? Why do you feel like it should be? And then I give them my perspective, and we sit down and we talk like two adults because they matter. They matter, y'all. Our community is the worst parenting community. Why is that? Because we've been slaves. So we be raising these beautiful children, as if they don't matter. Do you know what that do to a child or to a person when they feel like they can't talk and they can't express themselves? That you're teaching your child subconsciously that they're worthless. You just nothing. Like, no, you, because I said so, you, what your thoughts are doesn't matter. Your thoughts don't matter to me. I said you can't go to mom because I said so. Not, well, you know, it's been a shootout. I'm just a little nervous. My mother instinct is just telling me that not to send you to the mall today. I know that hurts your feelings, but can we come up with something else? Do you think your friends can come over here? My intuition just telling me not to send you to the mall today, son. I'm sorry. What else can we do to make you happy and feel like you're having a great day? They matter. We got parenting a little screwed up. And we have to unlearn to relearn. And just because it worked for you doesn't mean it's going to work for your child. I'm going to say that again. Just because those steps worked for you, the steps that your parents did to you, doesn't mean that's going to work for your child. Y'all are two different beings. Y'all might have similarities, but that child is different. That child thinks different. And I'm going to share something with y'all, but we're going to take a quick commercial break. And then I'm going to go into telling y'all how I manifested my daughter's personality. Like, and my son, I literally manifest their personality. But we'll get back to that in a second.
Cure Spiritual Care was created to unlock the God and the Goddess that's within you. What is it that you want out of this life? You're the creator. All you need to do is think about it. Visualize the life that you want. Speak about it as though it's already existed. When you're in the tub or the shower, let that water flow on you. Manipulate it and tell it exactly what you want. Move in action. Write it down and watch it create. Believe in yourself. Believe in the power that's within you. Believe in the God that's within you. That's what these products will do. Rejuvenate your body cells and rejuvenate your spirit. Log on to the website or social media platforms. Learn more about the power of water and how to unlock the power that's within you. Peace, love, and knowledge. Cure spiritual care.
Peace, peace, peace. Welcome, welcome, welcome in. If you are just tuning in into the show, you are listening to The Black Woman of God, where I am your host, Goddess Kay. And we are talking about parenting with love in the brown community. Some of our toxic ways that we have, toxic habits, and that we should and need to get rid of. So before we went on a little commercial break, I was sharing how I wanted to share with you all how I manifested my children's personality. Now, remind you, water, I keep telling y'all, water is so powerful. In our womb, it is alive as well. I got pregnant at 17, and I had a really low self-esteem, and I knew I didn't want my daughter to grow up with a low self-esteem, so I would touch my womb when I was pregnant with her. And I would speak life to her. I would say so many prayers. And I would picture my daughter with high confidence, just vibrant, love herself, can't nobody tell her nothing. Wasn't conceited, but she just loved her. And I tell y'all, my baby, she'd be like, it was to the point where when she was a little girl, she's not like this now, but when she was younger, people would say, you are so pretty. You a pretty little girl. And she'll say, I know. Not thank you, just I know. And so one time I took her shopping, and we came home. We got dressed, put on our new clothes, and we getting ready to go out on a little mother-daughter date. And I say, Zai, you look so pretty. She was like, Mama, I know. That's when I had to have that talk. Let me tell you something, little girl. And I had to humble her spirit. But now that I'm older, I know that's because I spoke that into her. Everything that I didn't like about myself and I struggled with, I used to touch my womb and pray that she does not struggle with any of those insecurities or bad habits that I have. And same thing with my son. I used to do the same thing with my son. When I met his father, oh, my gosh, I used to be like, boy, I'm going to get pregnant. We're going to get married. I'm going to get pregnant. I'm going to have a child with swag just like you. I swear I married my father in my first marriage. Like, he was definitely my father. And our son came out. Like, if you guys meet my son, my baby has so much swag. It's literally in his DNA. He has it honestly. Like, he gives it from his both of his grandfathers, from my side and from his father's side. And then his father had mad swag. So the little boy came out with so much swag, my mom named him Sugar Ray. She was like, nah, I ain't calling him that. That baby named Sugar Ray. He reminded me of Sugar Ray from Harlem Nights. Because he just, at age two, he just had character and just charisma and just, you know, he's so amazing. He's a Gemini, y'all. So y'all know those Gemini men. Got a suave day. So good. And I would touch my womb, and I would talk to my baby, and he came out the same way. Now, when I was doing this, I didn't know I was manifesting and creating their personalities, along with the natal chart and all that stuff, but that's a whole other topic. I want you all to stay focused on when you are pregnant, you are truly transferring your energy and your personality to those kids. That's why the doctor tell you it is critical for you, for the mother, to be happy. Because if she is sad and depressed, those feelings can shoot into that child. I'm telling you, science showed that. Spiritually, it is shown that. It is critical when you are pregnant, you stay on your highest vibration, you are touching your womb, and you are speaking life to your children from the time you leave this realm or whoever leaves first. And that goes to my next thing that I really want to push. I need you to understand that you are a garden. You are a guardian to your children, and it is your job to take care of your garden. excuse me, I said that wrong. Your children are your garden. Thank you, Spirit. Your children are your garden, and it is up to you to water your garden with life. Y'all be around here watering y'all garden with God doggone sodas and Coke 45. Yeah, I said it. Giving them tequila. What do you mean by that, Goddess K? What I mean is when you sit there and you tell your child, you act just like your daddy, and you talking about this in a negative way, you are pouring alcohol, Hennessy. God, no, you ain't even giving them no damn Hennessy. You giving them goddamn Coke 45, malt liquor to them damn babies. Well, you should be saying you remind me of your father in a good way. Your father has swag. Your father got a nice smile. Your mother, you remind me just of your mother. Your mama got some pretty legs. You got some pretty legs like your mama. Speak life to your children. Kings and queens, they are our garden. We have to water them with life. We have to be giving them alkaline water. We got to give them watermelon, meaning when they tell you, Mama, I don't like that. Listen to them. Well, baby, tell me why you don't like it. Okay, well, this is why I like it. Communicate with these babies. They're your flowers. When those children get older, and then you be like, you always have something negative to say about your kids, that's because you're talking about yourself. You see yourself in them kids. You see yourself in those babies. You look at your child, and you talking smack and low vibrational things to your children because you mad because you done slept with this man that you only known for a week and got pregnant. So now you mad and you done raised this baby and the baby come out looking just like him. So you mad at your child? Nah, baby girl, you need to be mad at yourself. Ain't nobody tell you to open up your garden up that dang on fast and sleep with him and get pregnant. But since you did, you need to go do some self-healing, some self-love, so you can nurture your garden. Oh, I know some of y'all mad. If I have any children listening to this episode and your mother and your father talk down to you, make you feel belittled or any type of way, anything that you hear me say, just send this to them. Be like, oh, let's listen to this. Don't even say that. Just play it. Play it in your room real loud. Had the door open. Let them hear what I'm saying. Hint, hint. And if your child sends you this after this pre-recording, if your child sends you this, don't get mad. Get glad because that's your child saying, hey, I want a healthier relationship with you. But this is how you make me feel belittled. I hate when you tell me I remind you of my mom because she done left us and done went hoeing and on drugs or whatever she doing, living her best life in the streets, and now you here stuck having to raise me and be a single father. You shouldn't have got pregnant. You should have kept your pants and your little things and your clothes in. But at the end of the day, that's their reflection, and you have a chance to raise this little girl and to show her what a provider is, what a protector is, and when she go out on a date, what she should expect. Our children are our future, and it is up to us to be the living example for these babies. Teach them the way. Teach them the way. When I have my son, I pray with my son. He don't be like it. He be, I'm sleepy. Boy, we about to say our affirmations today. Boy, we about to pray before we get up in this car and pull off this driveway. I bet you that. I teach him. Everything starts spiritual, son. Everything starts spiritual, daughter. I tell my children. And then I don't just tell them. I show them. I don't do nothing I don't want my kids to do. I don't do nothing. I will tell my friends, quit. No, I ain't doing that. I don't care. I'm not doing it. Why? Because I don't want my children to do it. So why in the world I do it? I am their hero. I am their example. And we have to begin to do the same thing. I understand that sometimes co-parenting can be challenging. Y'all, I co-parent right now. I am happily divorced. And I co-parent right now. I had to co-parent with my daughter's father. My church does not have the same father. I co-parent too. You don't think I come across hiccups with my co-parenting from the past to the present? But at the end of the day, it's about my child. And when it comes to this co-parenting, we be so quick. We are so quick to put our personal feelings into the parenting relationship. Let me tell you something, queen. Let me tell you something, king. Y'all broke up. It's done. It's over with. Just because you are mad because he or she cheated or whatever it is that parent, the other parent did, you need to learn to forgive and release so you can walk around a little happier than what you're doing. And understand that that is something personal. Those are two different things. So if that woman or if that man say, hey, I want to do this for my child or I want to do this for our child, please let that be with no hesitation, no upsetness, no drama. It is critical that our children have the other parent in their lives. It is critical that we teach and show our children how to co-parent in love. Ooh, I know I'm making some of y'all mad today, but it's okay. It's okay. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back on this topic of how to co-parent and just parenting with love.
I command all the fathers from all time immortal to be upon us in this moment. I salute the Father in you, 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 Father in you, Father in you. We exalt the Holy Father in us so we can align with the Holy Mother and we can continue the creation.
All praises to the Most High. I've been raising my vibration. Yoga meditation. Just sticking to the basics. Living in a matrix. It's cynical and crazy. But I've been swimming in amazement. Writing all these verses. Reversing all my curses. Walking in my purpose. Doing it on purpose. I'm sure, I'm certain. I'm pure, not perfect. I rise in service. Of God, I'm a servant. Take me high. All praises to the Most High. I've been hustling my whole life. I know the struggle, I know both sides. I'm at your neck like a bow tie. I don't know death, I'm pro-life. I cannot stress, I'm so love and so light and so bright. And me and God are so tight, the light of my life. I'm reaching new heights while I'm reciting my wife. I'm going bravely, oh, I'm doing greatly. Life's amazing, I guess it is what you make it. This is prayer, this is affirmation. I've been healing, I've been feeling, I've been raising my vibration. I've been raising my vibration. I've been patient, I've been waiting. I've been patient, y'all. I've been raising my vibration. I've been healing, I've been praying. I've been raising. I've been raising my vibration. I've been patient, I've been waiting. I've been stacking, I've been saving. I've been healing, I've been praying. Meditating. Affirmations, I've been raising my vibration. I've been hella patient. Meditating. Lighting, staging. Elevating. That's amazing. Dedication. Self-preservation, I'm a walking revelation for every agent in a matrix. I'm a king, I'm a lion, I'm a giant, I'm a sire, I'm a giant, I'm prolific, I'm so gifted. I see the vision in my third eye, it's so vivid. I've been raising my vibration. I've been patient, I've been waiting. I've been patient, y'all. I've been raising my vibration.
We will rebrand man and shape the future of humanity within the possibility of fatherhood, so our children can go farther, and our women can be supported as we move farther.
I've been raising my vibration.
Neglected, now. protected, most respected and reflected. Yeah, I've been raising my vibration, healing the hurt, doing the work, never revert, to whack vibes that came first. Peace in your mind, peace in your soul, peace in your home, keeping it real enough to grow, that's how you'll know. You're raising your vibration, that's how you'll know. Yeah, you're raising your vibration. Transfiguration, out of stagnation. She remembered who she was, that's a daily affirmation. Don't be mistaken, you're still evolving and amazing. Rebirth and genesis, just like a chrysalis. Journey in grace, protecting your space. Trust your intuition in the liminal space. Your ancestors been waiting, your higher self been praying. Day by day, keep raising your vibration, yeah.
I've been raising my vibration. I've been patient, I've been waiting. I've been patient, y'all. I've been raising my vibration. I've been healing, I've been praying. I've been raising. I've been raising my vibration. I've been patient, I've been waiting. I've been stacking, I've been saving. I've been healing, I've been praying. Meditating. Affirmations, I've been raising my vibration.
Welcome back to the Black Woman of Sky, where I am your host, Goddess K, and we are talking about parenting with love. Before we get back into that topic, we are going to get to the best part of the show, one of my best parts of the show, and that is that time where we take a moment to honor our ancestors. We recognize a god and a goddess of the week, and today we're doing something a little different. We have been blessed with the presence of Tahaka Elbe to come on into the show and to help us recognize those special two people. Tahaka, please do your thing and bless
peace,
us.
Peace, sister. I am glad to be here. I've been listening to you. Good information here that I've heard as far as our ancestors is concerned. I would like to give some credit and hope we haven't forgot about Susie King Taylor. She was born in 1848, died in 1912. Her birthplace was Isle of Wight, Georgia. That's W-I-G-H-T. It says here that Susie King Taylor was raised by her grandmother in Savannah, Georgia. Even though she was born in slavery and was not allowed an education, she was taught how to read and write by free black woman, understanding how important education was. 14-year-old Susie used her skills to teach other African-Americans at the Freedman's School. In 1862, President Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, which legally abolished slavery in the Confederate States. Even though black soldiers were not allowed to fight alongside white soldiers, which is interesting, and were treated badly, they fought bravely for their freedom and for their country. Susie's husband, Edward King, was one of those soldiers. After they married in 1862, the couple moved to Port Royal Island off the South Carolina coast, where Edward joined the 1st South Carolina Volunteers, an all-black U.S. Army regiment. This regiment was made up of former slaves from the Sea Island, as one of the first black military units raised by the Lincoln administration. Like all black regiments, the 1st South Carolina Volunteer desperately needed medical assistance. Susie was working as a laundress for her husband's company. Although she had no Although she had no formal training, she quickly offered her service, came the first black Army nurse to serve her country. Later, other black women, including Harriet Tubman and Sojourner Truth, joined the troops to nurse their men. But Susie is believed to be the first. In addition to nursing the soldiers, Susie also took the time to teach the men how to read and write, which is very important. Wow. Edward King died at the end of the Civil War, and Susie moved to Boston. There she met and married Russell Taylor in 1879. Susie was a volunteer nurse on the battlefront for 4 years, tending to the wounded soldiers, but received no pay and no pension for her dedicated work. In 1902, Susie published her memoirs, My Life in Camp with the 33rd United States Colored Troops. I think we should give honor to her.
Oh, praises, most definitely. That was amazing. That was very informational. Thank you so, so much for coming on the show and sharing that. That is amazing. All praises and honors to her. Do you have a God of the Week that you can just share just a little bit of information about before we go?
All right. Well, let's turn the pages a minute.
Okay.
Willis A. Zimmel. Hey, Zimmel Willis was always considered about all people receiving quality health care, like Dr. Daniel Hale Williams and other African-American pioneers in medicine. He was not simply satisfied with establishing a lucrative career for himself. He was moved by the unnecessary suffering many people endured because they didn't have access to quality health care, like Dr. Williams, who established a hospital in Chicago. They served all people. Hayes did something about the problem. He helped to establish a medical care facility, the South Richmond Health Center, which integrated primary care and public health services into a community-based site, bringing quality health care to the underserved population of that era of Richmond. Born in Portsmouth, Virginia, when segregation was still the law, Hayes' father, a district manager for a black insurance company, and his mother, a school teacher, were his early role models. Hayes was an excellent student who finished third in his class in high school and won yearly statewide science fair competitions. He earned a scholarship to Mount Union College in Ohio and graduated with honors in 1968. In 1975, after doing further study in biochemistry at Seton Hall University, he received his MD from Virginia Commonwealth University Medical College of Virginia, MCV. He did his internship and residency in internal medicine at MCV and later joined the faculty. Subsequently, he became an assistant professor of rheumatology with a specialization in immunology. Interns, particularly African Americans, other people of color sought Hayes as a mentor, and he was always accessible. Early in his career, Hayes concentrated on biochemistry and biochemical research and made major contributions in that field. Later, he began to focus on finding effective ways to deliver quality health care to underserved populations. A member of numerous state and local medical committees and organizations, including the Governor's Task Force on Science and Technology, Hayes still finds other ways to make a difference. He served as medical director at the Richmond Nursing Home and helped to bring quality care to a segment of the population that could least afford it. Hayes Willis died in January 6, 1998, following a two-year struggle with leukemia. A few months later, the center he helped found was renamed in his honor, the Hayes E. Willis Medical Center. It's now being used as a prototype by other cities and health organizations concerned about delivering quality health care to all citizens.
Oh, praises, all praises. Thank you, Sahaka, so much for that information. We give honor to that God and to the goddess of the day, of the week. We appreciate you for coming on the show, and I'm sure we'll be talking soon.
Okay, sister.
Have a great one. Peace, peace, family. All praises, all praises. That was amazing. I love that time of the show where we acknowledge and honor a God and a goddess of the week. So I hope you all enjoyed that as much as I did. But back to the topic of parenting with love. Reflections, we have to do better. We got to wake up. We have to acknowledge our wrongdoing. And how can we become better parents so we can have a better world, a better experience in this realm? You know, I love spending time with both of my children together and individually. Growing up, I used to have my daughter clean my son's room because that's what my mom did with me. And I never understood why she did that. Oh, but when I got married, I understood that I was going to one day get married and have to clean up after a man in certain ways. And it's okay. It's a balance. You know, it's a balance. But I love spending time with my, you know, with my children because I get to show my daughter what a lady is supposed to do and not do. And I don't just get to tell her, but again, I get to show her how a lady is supposed to act, you know? And I teach my son what he should expect from a wife. I teach my son how to nurture so he can know how to nurture himself. He can nurture me back. He can nurture his sister and all the women that's in his family. It teaches my son a standard of a woman so he know he can identify, hold on, you talking to me crazy. My loved ones don't talk to me crazy. So we know when to back away from a toxic relationship. He can identify it because I show him, hey, this is how you're supposed to be treated. You are a young prince. You're a young prince. You're a little guy that's going to become to be a big guy, a king. And this is what your duty is to do. What we expect as a woman. When my son spends time with me, he knows he has to open up that door. He done got to the point now when we're walking down the street, we go walking, he want me to be on the opposite end of where the car is coming. I'm like, uh-uh. And he'd be like, Mom. You know, so we struggle with that sometimes because, you know, he's a preteen. And so he want to already be that protector for me when the car is coming. He knows. Same thing with my daughter. It's important that she spent time with her biological father, her bony dad, her godfather. It takes a community to raise these kids. That's how we all have to get along. My daughter's so blessed. She was blessed with three men, her father, my ex-husband, and her godfather. Same way with me. It was more than just my biological father in my life. And I was able to eat the meat, spit out the bone. What did I like about all three men that was in my life, all three men in her life, the women in my son's life? He has me. He has a bonus stepmom. He has a, I don't like to use the word step, but he has his grandmother, you know, grandmothers. The example. We have to lead with the example of teaching our children. So all that. You can't see your mama. You can't see your daddy. You can't see this person. Remove your personal feelings out the way or what happened with the adult relationship and do what's best for the children. Because at the end of the day, it takes a village, a strong, healthy, loving village to raise these children and to show them. We have to water them, because when they get out there in these streets, I hear silly parents say, oh, I got to talk to them crazy because they going to get it out there when they go in the streets. They ain't going to care about them. No. No, reflection. That is silly. You're right. The world going to give them they butts to kiss. But when they at home, when they're around auntie, uncle, mama, daddy, sister, brother, they supposed to feel good. Just the other day, I try to cook for my children on Sundays, right, every other week. And the other Sunday, I'm asking them to come in the kitchen and help me. Now, remind you, my son always helped me in the kitchen. But he ain't felt like doing anything that Sunday. And my daughter was like, Mom, I came over here to rest. We want to rest. And she got on the couch with my son. She was like, man, we want to rest. You know what she's saying? Do you understand what she's telling me, reflection? Mommy, when I come here, I want to get watered. I want to get nurtured. I just want to sit back and get catered like a kid again. That's all she wanted. And that's what I'm supposed to do. By all means necessary, I'm going to continue to water my children with some watermelon and some alkaline water, mentally, spiritually, and financially. Physically, we're going grounded. We're doing meditation. We're doing breathing exercises together. My baby said, Mama, we want to rest. I said, all right, baby, I got you. I fix the plates, and I nourish them. I rub on their hair, rub their heads, massage them, treat them like they just babies. Because let's be real, we grown. I'm almost 40. Some of y'all probably 60, and y'all still want rest. You still want a hug. You want to be nurtured. And there's nothing wrong with that. And being also going to say, stop, women, stop calling your straight sons, who's not even gay, gay. Stop calling a faggot or a sissy and a B word. Like, stop that. That is so toxic. It just irks my nerve. Stop crying like you a little sissy. Let me tell you something. It takes a real man to cry. I love when I can see a man get vulnerable on his soft side. If he can't, if your son can't come crying to you, who in the heck can he come crying to? If you teach your son to hold on to his pain and to go out there in that world and to blow the hell up, his ass gonna end up in doggone prison. Excuse my language. But it really ticks my nerves when a mother sit there and tell her child, her son, her young king, who is a protector by nature, that he's a faggot, he is a sissy, because he crying? Sister girl, you need to go do some healing. You need to do some research on what a real man is. It takes a real man to get vulnerable. And a man's supposed to be able to come home and to be able to cry in his arms, in his woman arms, and be okay. And be okay with that. Because his actions of protecting his household and providing his household, you know that he ain't no weak dude at all. Oh, you let them tears fool you. You let that release fool you. Because all you're doing is releasing like you do when you cry. There's nothing wrong with crying, just long as you ain't sitting in it. But crying is a sign of release. A good cry and a nap is the bomb. You remember that behind whoop you used to get when you was younger? That used to be the best sleep. Dad and go to sleep in the church. Yeah, I said it. Get that behind whooping. Go to sleep or go to church, and you be knocked out of church. Boy, that ain't gonna be some good sleep. And to my grandparents, spend time with your grandkids. This is your second time. Grandchildren are a blessing. It's your second time. It's your second chance to be able to reparent. So all the things that you feel like you failed in your child, God has blessed you with the grandchildren to redo it, to retry it again. You feel like you failed your son, you get a grandson, hey, there you go. Retry this thing again. You feel like you failed your daughter, hey, you get a granddaughter, it's the time to retry it again. Live the example Be the change that you want to see in your children. It's important that we learn self-love so we can parent our children better. My parents dropped the ball on me. They wasn't perfect, but they was perfect enough. They doing their best. I hope they did their best. I hope when they look in the mirror, they say, you know, they gave it their all, because that's all that matters, whether I feel like they were bad parents or good parents or not. If they look in that mirror and they can honestly say with nobody behind, with just them, and they can say, no, I gave it my all, I really did do my best, and that's all that matters. But I analyze my parents' background, because some things that they've done or they're allowed to happen, I'm like, why would they do that or say that or allow this to happen? And then I have to think about how were they raised? What was their background? What are the things that they struggled with? Because when you understand a person's background, you then begin to have grace and mercy and understanding for them. My parents say that they tried to do their best in raising me, and I believe them. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Take a moment and don't be so mad at your parents. Don't be so mad at your kids. If you know you was a jacked up mama, at one point in time you was out there hoeing around on drugs, same thing for my father. If you was locked up in prison or whatever it is, that why your relationship with your child is not the best, if they're not dead, if they're not gone, and they still in this realm, fix it. Forgive yourself, forgive them, and fix it. If y'all both have breath in your lungs and you're breathing, fix it. They're going to curse you out. They're going to say what they got to say. It's okay. Be man enough to be woman enough to deal with it and bring healing and peace. Let's be better, y'all. I really hope that y'all listen to this and learn from this. You know, sometimes we don't want to hear the truth because it hurts. But know that I be speaking to myself, too. Co-parenting is very challenging for me right now. If y'all knew my story, you'd be like, oh, wow. Co-parenting is challenging. But life doesn't accept excuses. I love myself, and I think about my children. And I think about how can I bring peace to my kids. And I hope you all do the same thing. Peace, love, and knowledge. I'm Goddess K, and we are parenting with love from this day forth. I say, see y'all next time.
Do you have the products you need to take a spiritual bath by the next full moon? If not, place your order today with Cures Spiritual Care. We provide you with high vibrational spiritual bath products from our sage, our Palo Santo sticks, our healing shea butter, organic soaps, our powerful spiritual water, and more. Call or text in your order today at 904-558-0079. 904-558-0079 and tell them Goddess K sent you, or log on to your Instagram and search spiritual_care. Our email address is curecare9@gmail.com. Remember, our care is spelled with a K and not a C. Remember, reflections, you are the creator of your reality. So let us help you create your heart desires.
Like your key.